Blog Talk Radio.
All right, everyone. Well, we have a very special episode of The Rabbit Hole tonight, and we're going to start with one of the best songs in music history. I just want everyone to understand that this is such wonderfulness. Give me about 2 seconds. I don't think we're as prepared as I, well, not we, me, we're not as, I am not as prepared as I should have been. So this was supposed to start on a different note, and I am very sorry about that. So here we go. If this is going to give you any sort of inclination of what we're doing this evening. And here we go, maybe.
I heard you on the wireless back in 52, lying awake intently tuning in on you. If I was young, it didn't stop you coming through.
Nice. The first song ever on MTV.
Thank you. So if you guys did not already get that, like Carl said, first music video ever played on MTV in 1984, that would be Video Killed the Radio Star, by a very little known and very little respected group, in my opinion, The Buggles. Happens to be the theme of our show this evening. Great one-hit wonders from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So Carl, TC, and I are going to be talking tonight about some amazing, wonderful music that should have gone a lot further than it did in music history, and unfortunately, it did not. So, Carl, you want to talk to us about what you got going on here?
Okay, so the way we work this is I have the 70s, And Rachel has the 80s and TC has the 90s. And TC will be joining us here momentarily.
That's all I had to say, hon.
I didn't even hear what you said.
I said, TC, we love you.
Yeah, we do. We do. So the way that I'm working this is I'm actually going to go relatively chronological. And we're going to start with probably one of the worst parts of the 70s. And that, no, not disco. Disco is later. But do you know what I mean, Rachel, by bubblegum music?
Maybe a little bit. So sweet it makes my teeth hurt?
Basically, yes. And basically it was the brainchild of a guy by the name of Don Kirshner. Don Kirshner had control over the Monkees for a long time until they revolted. There were songs like Sugar Sugar by the Archies and various others. Most of them were bad. Exactly. But there were two that I considered that I happened to like. One that didn't make it was actually from a Pittsburgh group called the Jaggers, and that was the rapper. But most of these songs were on a specific label. It was called Buddha, which, by the way, was run by the mob, which is very cool. But nonetheless, this particular song is by the Cassinets Cats Traveling Circus. And here's TC.
Oh.
There he is.
He
121
is here.
Tries that time.
121?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you, Blog Talk.
I know.
Oh, good God.
Well, we're here now. So,
but you're here.
Hey, what are we doing? What I missed?
Okay,
you missed the Buggles?
We started with
you
the
Buggles.
You
already played one? Oh, video for
the
radio.
The intro song.
Interval.
All right, perfect.
Okay, so now it's the 70s, and I'm doing it, and we're doing bubblegum music to start with.
Okay, you know what? Can I say something first?
Absolutely.
Go ahead first. Okay. I have the 90s, and I will not play the song, the VH1, named as the greatest one-hit wonder of all time. If you told me to
what
pick
did they
50... If you told me to pick 50 songs, this would come in number 397. Anyone want to guess what VH1 picked as the number one one-hit wonder ever? From the 90s, actually.
I can't. Like, this is going to hurt my soul. I don't even want to try.
Oh, it's painful. I threw my phone when I read it. Macarena.
What?
Oh. Yeah, no, I can see that, actually.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, it actually sat at number one. It sat at number one for 14 fucking weeks.
You know, that was...
Not only that, but when the Animaniacs...
Thank God I didn't hear it.
When the Animaniacs do a basic parody of it on the Animaniacs, you know that it's popular.
Well,
oh, yeah,
but
absolutely.
You've also got to remember that that song was really relevant at the time that I was becoming a relevant human being. I was like a teenager when that song came out. So I remember all 14 fucking weeks of that song being number one.
Oh, boy.
And I just want to say, I have to say this since this is on down the rabbit hole and we're doing the whole one hit wonders thing. Thank God you're not doing that song because we have got so much better shit for this evening.
You guys would never talk to me again. You'd never talk to me again.
I would talk to you. I would curse you.
I would divorce your musical taste, TC. I would. I would, and we just had a lovely honeymoon. So,
listen, if I played that song, the next sound you'd hear would be the splat of the Port Authority bus hitting me that I stepped in front of. So just
awesome.
So you know how much I love that song. But go ahead, Carl. Let's go to the 70s. We're doing this
chronological order.
Cool. Yeah, I thought we'd get that right out of the way. We'd get that right out of the way, what VH1 claimed. So go for it, man. I can't wait to hear your bubblegum suck my balls for that.
Okay, well, if I'm going to go for it, you guys got to be quiet for a little bit. Just saying.
Oh, yeah.
So
we can do that.
I think he's telling us to shut the hell up.
Yeah, I get it.
So the 70s started off with bubblegum. I was explaining what bubblegum was. Kirshner basically had controlled the monkeys for a while until they revolted. And then he came up and made a deal with Buddha Records. And the first big bubblegum hit was Sugar Sugar by the Archies. They did a lot with Josie and the Pussycats and all that. That was all bubblegum. And there were two songs. I hated most of it, but there were two songs that I considered. One was from a Pittsburgh group, TC.
All right.
Called The Jaggers. And that would be the song The Rapper. Okay, that song was my second choice. But if I have to say what my favorite song is of bubblegum, it is by far this one. It is by the Cassidets Cats Traveling Circus. You've never heard of them before. You never will afterwards.
Okay.
And it's called Quick Joey Small. And here we go. You guys want to kill me yet?
Not yet. Wait until you hear what I've got planned.
Yeah, so what did you guys think?
You know what I was hearing in there between the beat and a little bit of organ there?
Yeah?
Give me some loving.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Spencer Davis, absolutely.
Yeah, I heard a little bit of that in there. So,
yeah, it's not a bad song. I was actually chair dancing. I chair danced to that song.
Did you really?
Yeah,
I've always liked
that song.
I did not chair dance to it, but I'm also not sitting in a chair, so I guess there's that.
Okay, so we're going to move on from there. Okay, now one of the things that happened in the 70s is there were lots of disco jazz versions of classical tunes. Probably the most known one is A Fifth of Beethoven by Walter Murphy. But there was also Popcorn by Gershon Kingsley. There was a number of them like that. But I picked one that I really, really liked that hit number two for 3 weeks in a row in 1973. And it was on a jazz label called CTI. And that's Creed Taylor's Industry. Now, they were out of Buffalo, actually. Then they turned into Amherst.
Then.
Yeah, but okay. Basically,
Amherst
the people
Records.
You're going to hear on this, so it's done by a guy by the name of Yumia Deodato. He was Portuguese/Brazilian, was a jazz pianist, and he's better known as a producer because he produced both Earth, Wind, and Fire and Cool and the Gang. To number one songs, by the way, both of them.
Huh.
But as a performer, he was basically a jazz pianist. And you're also going to hear a couple other people on this thing, which I will tell you afterwards. But listen to the guitar player particularly and tell me if you can guess who the guitar player is. So this is also Sprock Zarathustra. Also known as the theme to the Kubrick film, 2001, Space Odyssey.
Oh.
So here we go. Okay. Also Sprock Zarathustra. Also, I should tell you that this is the single version. It is not, when they did a single, they usually cut down the song. And so they cut it down from a 10-minute song into the single version. So here we go, the single version of Also Sprock Zarathustra by Deodato. Thank you.
Oh, my God, Carl. Is that the music that they used to play back in the day when you were a kid or something? Is that supposed to be music? What is this?
It was fantastic is what it was.
I'm glad they were only a one-hit wonder.
I'll tell you why I think it was fantastic. Carl, correct me if I'm wrong.
I didn't say it wasn't awesome, but...
Carl, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Stanley Clarke the bass player on that song?
You better fucking believe it.
Bingo. Fucking A.
Oh, damn it, you two. You can't be doing that to me. Come on now.
Hey, I'm a bass player. Look, I'm a bass player.
Who was the guitar?
Stanley Clarke's number one to me and Victor Wooten's number two.
I am actually sitting here. Hold on a second.
The guitar player.
I don't know the guitar.
George Benson.
I don't know the guitar player though.
It was George Benson.
Was it George Benson?
Yeah, fuck a guitar player.
That was George Benson.
Are you working Pittsburgh people into all your songs somehow?
No, George Benson's
from Pittsburgh.
Is that not cool? See, George Benson,
really?
Bob James, all these people were part of CTI before they hit it on the pop chart. CTI was a jazz label. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Since you brought that up,
some crazy reason. I knew Stanley Clarke was a bass player on that song. Maybe somewhere along the line.
I'm impressed with that.
I studied these guys.
I'm definitely impressed. Without a doubt.
I study these guys. Yeah. I know. I can tell you everything about him and Victor Wooten and a few others. So, you know, great pick there, man. And I remember. When that was like a radio hit, you know?
Yeah.
I remember.
We were in high school at the time. I think we were junior. Were we juniors? I think.
What year?
73.
Sophomore to junior.
Yeah, there wasn't even a glimmer of the milkman's eye at that point.
Carl, speaking of high school, let me back you up for a second in the bubblegum thing. Do you remember the bubblegum band that played at Bradford High School? Like, when that whole craze, about the same time Sugar Sugar was out.
Okay, what year was that, 69?
Probably 68, 69, somewhere around there.
I wasn't there. I didn't move until 72. I didn't make it to Bradford.
Well, okay. Here's one. The Ohio Express played in Bradford High School Auditorium.
Cool.
Yummy, yummy, yummy. I got love in my tummy.
I got love in my tummy. Oh, God.
Yeah. How old was I? Like 11 or 12? They did a matinee during school. We took the school bus from 6th Ward, and then they did a night show.
Well, here's the thing, you couple of schoolgirls. You got plenty of time to talk after the show. How about calling us what his next selection is?
Okay, so
next selection
is the single version of a great little tune by a band called Sugarloaf, and this is Green Eyed Lady.
Oh, right.
the waves, the sand. Green-eyed lady, ocean lady, child of nature, friend of man.
That one.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Well, I mean, that one I grew to like a motherfucker. I mean, I feel like it was written about me, but what a.
Well, I think we had to start the show over. I'll take the 70s and play that song again.
You know, one of the things I have noticed.
Oh, no. You called it, though. You called it yourself. You got the 90s, bitch. Stay in your lane.
I know. So,
but that's okay. But I'll tell you what. I haven't heard that song in I don't know how long. I sang right along with it.
Yeah,
like, I never
seriously.
Forgot the lyrics. Like, I heard it yesterday, you know? Such a great song. Good pull, Carl.
And notice also that a lot of my picks are keyboard-centric. I'm a keyboard player. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So if you're
an organist, a pianist, but, as it were.
well, I do have a pianist, but we're not going to go there. Anyway, now the next one from 1979,
right?
And they are the antithesis of each other. One is silly and stupid, and the other one is like, we'll get to the other one, but let's go with silly and stupid. Okay.
Please do.
And right. I'm not even going to say who this is because you'll know who it is. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, who wants to kill me now?
Yeah, I think that song was like right at the beginning of the new wave era, wasn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, we will talk about the beginning of the new wave era when we get to the 80s and late 70s. Just
well, there you go.
Yeah.
That was 1979, right, Carl?
Yeah, that was 1979. And that was M. I have no, you know, the only thing they ever did. And again, I hate to say this, but I was chair dancing to that damn thing. I love that song. And I know it's stupid, but I don't fucking care.
It
I
is
really,
is it really like bad that every time you say that you're chair dancing, I have these visions of like old man Carl Stripper? I mean,
remember,
well,
I
you're
do,
not
I,
the prettiest, sexiest thing I've ever seen in my head.
Great. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks for saying that. Remember, I saw the guy naked. So now I got that fucking image in my head. I'm going home.
See, I have to live with that, so now all of you do too, buddy.
Yeah, well, we got to find that diaper picture, Carl.
I know. I got to talk to
we
got to
find
that.
No, what we need to do is have Carl turn us on to his next tune, because this is just giving me too much gold. Like, you're walking into it, Carl. I have so many jokes for you right now. Flintstones, Methuselah, take your pick.
We'll spread them out over the next year.
Okay, next song. Okay, now, when I say Ian Dury to either of you, what do you think
drugs
of?
And rock and roll.
Okay, you think of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now, the funny thing is, that never hit top 40 here in the U.S., which
that's
is
true.
Weird. He only had one song in the U.S. that hit, and it's off of New Boots and Panties. Now, most people consider Ian Dury punk, okay?
Right.
But I want to tell you something. This is a guy with polio who stood up with crutches attached to his wrists. He was the punk poet, but the music was done by a guy by the name of Chas Jankel. Chas Jankel was really a funk person. And so suddenly you got punk and funk together along with basically avant-garde jazz. And you get this song, and it's called Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick. It peaked at 37. On the U.S. charts.
It's
the only one that ever hit the top 40 by Ian Dury. And here we go. Hit me with your rhythm stick.
In the deserts of Sudan, the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's, every man's. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, je t'adore, ich liebe dich. Hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me slowly, hit me quick, hit me. Thank you.
so that that song finally ends.
That was in
my
the top 40. That was in the fucking top 40. How it ever got into the top 40, I'll never know.
Yeah, how'd you make the 37? My God, was that a bad week for music. But, you know, the guy
so apparently
good,
it hit
guy.
Somebody.
You know, it's funny, though, Carl. There's probably 40 Ian Dury songs that are better than that that could have played higher.
Yeah.
Started higher, you know.
But, they didn't.
Yes, they
I remember that song. You
yeah.
know?
And the thing about it is he was much bigger in England than he was in the U.S.
Oh,
and the thing is, I got to see him twice because he was part of the Stiff group that came into CBGB's after the sort of like
why
downslide.
Why would you do that to yourself?
So I saw him twice in a small club. He was fucking amazing, and so was Jazz Janko, the whole group there. Seriously.
Okay,
now we're going to move back to Rachel because she actually has a song on the 70s, so I'm going to pass it back to Rachel, and you pass it back to me because I did pick one from the 80s.
I will, and I've got something to say afterwards because I have a second song that I had the year wrong on it. Anyway, I had to negotiate with Carl here because, you know, PC came up with the idea that we all had our own decades. I've got one from the 70s that nobody picked and needs to be played, so I have a 70s song right now. That would be one of the greatest masterpiece one-hit wonder songs of all time. If you don't groove a little bit, and Carl, you don't have to chair dance, but you could totally chair swerve while you're listening. Let's do some Driver's Seat by Sniff and the Tears. That would be 1978. Boom.
Yep.
Little driving on a
Okay.
I am so sorry for those of you that had to hear that the first time ever on Blog Talk Radio, because seriously, those instrumental parts, if they didn't move your dirty soul parts, you probably weren't listening to the right song.
Let me tell you what was going on in 1978 when that song was a one-hit wonder. That was a huge, huge year for rock and roll. It was the arena rock was flying, you know, stadium rock, Rolling Stones, Genesis, or so. I actually Googled a list of songs that were hot in 1978, and that song snuck in with some big hitters, heavy hitters. So that might be why they didn't get in there.
But that is like the whole point of this show tonight is all of the ones that I've picked, I tried to make a very special effort because the 80s, I mean, holy shit, I was rife with options. So it was really hard for me to relinquish one to Carl, but I did get my driver's seat out of it. So I tried to make an effort to make sure that they were one-hit wonders that I felt like should have had a further career in music. Like, why did these people not make more music? Or they did, but nobody listened to them? Seriously, who the fuck has heard of Sniffin' the Tears? I love these guys. The rest of their album, not bad, but I'm pretty sure that's the only one they did. And that was in 1978.
They were an English band, weren't they? Weren't they an English band?
Yes.
Yeah. Look at the bands coming out of England at that time. You know, I mean, they just buried them. You know, unfortunately.
They did.
You know, I mean, you had the Rolling Stones, Genesis. Yes, I could go on off the Who, everybody. You know, everybody's playing the stadium rock, and they might have got an opener somewhere, but they just didn't. You know, they couldn't make it with the big boys, obviously. So,
Thing I need to ask you about this, Carl. I just looked up the song that this show was based on in my head. I just looked it up, and technically, it was 1979.
Go ahead, dear.
You want me to go ahead, and then I come in after you. Yeah, you're going to come in after me with yours, but this was 1979, and I've talked to both you guys today. And, by the way, I have a special guest with us here tonight. My buddy Jeremy is here from a completely other state, sitting on the couch and listening to the show with us tonight. So, yeah, Jeremy.
Howdy, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
We got one listener.
Woo-hoo. Technically, it's really hard because he's listening to it on speakerphone. we're gonna fix that soon. Fuck Blog Talk. Anyway, so this is a song I talked to both Carl and PC earlier about my huge, huge love for New Wave and how actually the band that has the same name as this song, but not this band, was the Death of Disco, forefront runner of New Wave. And one of my favorite classic one-hit wonders of all time ever, and I grew up with it being really popular in the 80s, not 1979, because I wasn't even born then, but we're going to do Cars by a little guy called Gary Numan. And if you've never heard this man, the rest of his career is fucking prolific. And I say his career because he is a one-man solo act. If you've ever seen him perform, he's like behind all kinds of machines and shit. It's crazy cool looking. And he makes wonderful stuff like this one. Here we go.
Here in my car,
Okay, so my lovely Google bitch just let me know that I can totally claim that one for the 80s because, yeah, it came out in 79, but it charted in both the 80s and the 90s. Watch out, TC, I'm coming for you, buddy.
You know, that song crosses a lot of genres because I hear it on classic rock stations. You know, I mean, it's a new wave song. And if, you know, thank Bob Moog for building a synthesizer small enough to carry onto a stage.
How is that not the most classic 80s song ever? I mean, synthesizer, Moog, staccato guitar and hand claps. Like, seriously, I just 80s the fuck on your face.
You know, what's so cool about it, too, is that was before, like, MTV, you know, when all these other songs almost copycatted that with videos, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that song
was one of the first videos that they played on MTV, even though it came out apparently well before the MTV days.
It was 83, 84 MTV, somewhere around there. So, I mean,
84 was MTV. And that's, I think, when the video came out, and that's something we were going to talk about, is how MTV really affected music. Because, like I said, I didn't even know that song was from 79 until about, about an hour ago when I Googled it. But Carl has one for us that is also from the 80s. Like I said, we had to have our little negotiations here, our tete-a-tete, as it were. So what you going to do for me, Carl?
So actually, this was one that just missed your cut, from what I understand, Rachel.
Yes, it did.
And it's very appropriate you're doing it after Gary Numan. And by the way, I just have one thing to say about Cars by Gary Numan. Do the funky robot, because that's exactly what I was doing. So anyway.
There's another image for you, another visual. Rachel.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, like
funky
I said,
robot.
No chair dancing, but there you go.
It was more
upper body and movement, but never mind. This is a song that I just love, and I love the video to this. If you get a chance after the show, check out the video of this. And this is a song that came out in 1983, late 82, early 83, charted, only hit by this band. The whole album is great. They only did one album. And all I'll say is, shall I just say Reflex? And the politics of dancing. And here we go.
Get your mental images ready. Carl is going to break it the fuck down.
Politics of dancing.
I love that.
How is that
song.
Not one of the greatest? And yes, I totally had visions of you, Carl, but if we're really going to go for some, you know, classic one-hit wonder dancey tunes, we definitely need to go for this next one. And if you've seen the music video, you will understand why I am saying this. There is a glorious number of scenes.
I got to say something about that last song now, okay?
Okay,
do it. I was frantically Googling during that song because I saw them open up for the Police on the 1984 Synchronicity Tour. And
get the fuck out of here.
Memorial Auditorium. I'm not kidding.
Like, no.
And,
hang up right now. Go away. I hate you.
Well, here's the kicker. As I was Googling, you know, they had that album, and they had another album they put out, but EMI pulled it because they said it was too political. And Sting sang backup vocals on a couple of songs on the second album that never came out. So there's a tie-in.
Get the fuck out of here,
just
wondering.
Yipper. So,
okay, well, I'm taking...
How many songs they played? You know, they might have played 7 songs as an opener. I don't know. I remember that song, but I remember they opened. And I thought, God damn it, who'd I see them with? And then I Googled, and it was the Police. Synchronized.
Well, I am officially asking your musical taste to take me back. I love it. I do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean to do you so wrong. Please come back. So this one, by the way, is if you've ever seen the music video, you will understand why I feel like this is a very dancey song. Weirdly enough, I have a tattoo that looks almost exactly like the painting on the woman's back in this music video, but I did not even see the music video until a week after I got my cello tattooed down my back. One of my favorite songs. I know! Totally weird. So the reason I even saw the video in the first place is a little known fact about Rachel here is I was 74-1 vote. I was going to be the VJ for a little music video television show called Retro Jams by Request. Unfortunately, the man that owns the television studio that I worked for did not like me very much. I did a great job for him, but he did not want me on the screen versus the 73 other people in the studio. So, yes, I was that close to being a VJ for a music video show, and this was one of the videos that I insisted we put in. And it was the first time I saw the music video while a girl was actually, like, rubbing the Aquaphor down my fresh, scabby tattoo. I put this music video in, and I just have to say it's my favorite of all time, and I love it that this man did not actually go further in his musical career, but he did actually become a host of a really well-known science show for the BBC. So let's hear it for some Thomas fucking Dolby. She blinded me
with
science.
Nice.
Great tune.
Perfect.
Great tune.
I was totally couch dancing.
I could believe
that. Tell us.
You know, these are bringing back so many great memories. And, you know, I just Googled while I was looking at him. Do you know what he does now? He's on the faculty.
He hosted a science show.
No, he's on the faculty at Peabody Institute at Johns Hopkins University since 2014. He leads the Peabody
Institute
for New Media program. Yeah.
Wow.
Holy shit.
Yeah, in 1990s, he founded Beatnik, a Silicon Valley software company whose technology was used to create the Nokia tune. The Nokia tune? You know that tune? I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, God, everybody knows that one.
He's also the music director for the TED conferences. So there you have it.
So how many one-hit wonders on this list tonight, / can you list at all, who wrote a song about the thing that they actually do for a living now? I mean, how is that not fucking perfect?
How
about it? Well, if anybody wrote a song, now I'm trying to go as much chronologically as I can with my selections because, like I said, we were talking about the MTV thing, and the ones that I've played so far have been pre-MTV. And this next one is pre-MTV, but obviously got famous post-MTV, which is, again, we talked about that a minute ago, how, like, there's a bunch of these songs that didn't actually become popular and hits until many, many, many years after they were first released. And I think that a lot of that had to do with the introduction of MTV. Like, we played the Buggles earlier. That was their first video. Now, this next song I'm playing is pre-MTV, and that is our last one that is before the era of the music video that really, really changed the whole fucking landscape of musical entertainment, because
with the MTV, you know, I mean, you're pre-MTV. These people realize, hey, look, we got a second shot at our song right here. You know what I mean? Their song came out, it did okay on the radio. Holy fuck, MTV's here. Let's make a video for our song that was out before, and it got a whole new popularity, as you said.
Exactly.
You know,
and
like
this is
a
song that I do not think would have ever been as popular as it was, at least I think it was popular. It is legit one of my top 10 favorite songs of all time anyway. Like I said, kind of a weird thing for one-hit wonders. Yeah, my lady heart on. My lady boner is for one-hit wonders. Got you guys. So I don't think this song, which came out in 1982, would have been as popular as it was eventually without the introduction of MTV. They remind me very much of, like, you know, Queens of the Stone Age. You can definitely tell they took from these guys, especially with their music videos and stuff. And that, of course, I am talking about is Wall of Voodoo, Mexican Radio. Oh, my God, no cultural appropriation. I'm sorry. It's just a song. I'm playing it now. Boom.
I feel a hot wind on my shoulder and the touch of a world that is older. I turn the switch and check the number. I leave it on when in bed I slumber. I hear the rhythms of the music by the product that never use it. I hear the talking of the DJ.
Can't understand just what does he say.
I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican radio.
Thank you.
They talk about the U.S. inflation. I understand, just a little.
No comprende, it's a riddle.
I'm on a Mexican radio. I'm on a Mexican, whoa, radio.
So there you have it. If you've ever been driving in the South, you know exactly what he means by being on a Mexican radio.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
So I have something to say about that song. Whoa Voodoo was headed by Stan Ridgway. Stan Ridgway also went out on his own. But he also hooked up, and we were talking about the Police, with one of the members of Police. And did a couple of songs and collaborated on a soundtrack to a John Waters film. Would you like to guess what film and who did he collaborate with?
I'd say Stuart Copeland.
You're right about that. Him and Stuart
okay.
Copeland
of
got
course
together.
It's Stuart Copeland. We know what a hard-on Carl has for Copeland.
That's true.
Had
I
to
do.
Work him in there.
Okay.
I don't know what the
okay.
I don't know what the film is.
Pecker.
He is probably chair dancing with his Stuart Copeland bobblehead, which he just so everybody knows.
And I do
actually
have a Stuart Copeland Funko. I have a Stuart Copeland Funko. I'm not kidding.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I said you legitimately own that, and he's probably chair dancing with you right now.
Exactly, he was.
What was the movie?
It's either that or the or chair dancing with the astronaut from Sister Tempest, but that's beside the point.
What was the movie?
That's
Carl?
Another show, honey. We're doing the music episodes, not the movie episodes tonight. Come on now, get back in your lane. So yes, Mexican radio, fucking love that. And yeah, of course, it had one of the former members of the Police in it, because if you don't love everything that the Police have ever done, including Sting, you know, post-Police, all that, I mean, it's kind of like saying that you hate David Byrne. Seriously? Go to fucking hell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, ironically, well, I was going to say, ironically, that song and the song you did before that, you know, it's like almost you can hear some Talking Heads influence in those songs, you know, where you could almost intertwine the way that they write their music. And
all right, nerd,
you said David
Byrne. Know the story. I actually, at that one point in my time, my life where I was very, very briefly married for a few months, I did actually walk down the aisle to the Talking Heads. He wouldn't
Perfect.
Let me use Psycho Killer and, you know, hashtag this is why I'm divorced. But, yeah. If you can't tell, I'm a bit of a Byrne fan. So... my next one is actually going to go on a completely different path, completely different route. And since he knows more of the history of this song, and I can't remember the guy's name, my buddy Jeremy here is going to introduce the next one for us.
What do you mean?
Because you're the one that knows the name of the guy. Come on, tell us about it.
Okay, so this next song is by an artist called Rockwell. One of the things that not a whole lot of people know about Rockwell is that he is the son of Motown King Berry Gordy. And he was not taken very seriously. His career should have gone a lot further because he was a pretty decent artist. But because he was the son of Berry Gordy, people weren't taking him very seriously. And this song really didn't get any airplay except for the fact that it includes Michael Jackson. If it weren't for Michael Jackson, nobody would probably have learned anything about this song. And when it came out, it blew up on MTV. One of the reasons why it blew up on MTV is because it was also on the coattails of Thriller. So this kind of gave a little bit of a Thriller vibe, except it wasn't quite as scary because when Thriller came out, it freaked my shit.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
And the only reason this song was ever even made, because Berry Gordy told his son, like, no, nobody takes you seriously. I don't take you seriously. Like, you got to have somebody big pulling behind you. And he's like, well, you're my big guy. Pull behind me. And he's like, no. So Rockwell went on and was like, hey, MJ, let's do a thing. And Michael Jackson was like, you know what? I think we should do the damn thing. And so from here, we are going to be doing, if you've ever seen a Geico commercial before, you know the song I'm talking about, Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell.
Watching me.
if you weren't chair dancing that, Carl, please, like, were you?
No.
Visions.
No. No.
Hold on. God, get the fuck out of here with that.
Hold on. I think the song should be Somebody's Torturing Me, but that's me. And Barry Gordy was right. He has no talent.
Okay, well, most of that was Michael Jackson, but anyway.
Let me say this.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's great, but no.
Yeah, I sit on my back steps, you know, in the alley doing these podcasts, and a woman just walked by with her two dogs while that was playing, and all three of them gave me a what-the-fuck look. the dogs, too. No, but actually, you know
Leave
what
it to me to bring it to you, babies. I'm going to bring you all over here.
You know what we need to do? We need to take that song, and Every Breath You Take by the Police, put them in a room and let them fight it out.
Yes, please. Okay, so even
because
I am
watching you. You know,
I am so glad that you brought that up because, you know, in our heads, Carl and I both had kind of a, we need to have a, you know, poppy song. We need to have kind of more of a rocky song. And
yeah.
we need to have a fun song, a dancey song, a really cheesy love song. And if there is any earmarker of the 80s one-hit wonders ever, it is the fact that they make the best thickly cheesy love songs in the fucking world, okay?
Yep.
I had to 86 Fando Ballet, all right?
Oh, wow.
I had to, yeah, I 86 Spando Ballet in place of, now hear me out, in place of When in Rome, you know, the promise, I'm sorry, I'm just thinking I'll have the right words to say. Yeah, I had the 86 Spando Ballet and When in Rome, and I had to bend the rules just slightly to make this a one-hit wonder that I could play for the show tonight. But the only other song that these guys had that was even considered a hit, classed in the top 100 at one point. I don't even think it was top 40. So they only had one other song that even made it onto radio play, and I'm pretty sure it wasn't even in America. But just my last one here, my earmarker of the motherfucking 80s, I give you the 80s. Love ballad died in your arms.
Ah, yeah.
Also called I Just Died in Your Arms. By, again, a very, very little known band that someone sitting next to me actually reminded me of a few days ago, Cutting Crew. I Just Died in Your Arms. Going to play eventually.
Oh, this one. Oh.
Thank you.
I mean, come on, guys. How is that not glorious? Like, that is gloriously 80s.
It is. I mean, that sums up the 80s quite well, I believe.
And this is one of the reasons I didn't listen to the radio in the late 80s and 90s. So, yeah.
Okay, so...
Perfect MTV song.
Yes. Yes, it is. And it's not that it's the greatest song ever, but does that not epitomize the 80s cheesy love ballad? Seriously? I mean,
oh, yeah. That I agree with, and that's one of the reasons I hate the song.
Well, we've already discussed this, Carl, and he's about to have to, like, tape himself down to the chair and cover his mouth because he's going to hate what's coming now. And, TC, it is time for you, my love. Tell us all about it. I played you a love song. Play me the love music. What we got?
I will. But I'm renaming my segment the 90s or the one-hit heroes of the 90s. Even
now,
though
wait,
they had a little
flash. Could you say that one more time for me?
The heroes. Here's why I'm calling them the one-hit heroes of the 90s. Even though they only had a little flash of brilliance, they were an integral part of saving us from them god-awful 80s. Rock and roll was back in the 90s. And, the glam rock and all that shit, and a lot of that was driven by MTV, you know, the videos.
Okay.
But even though, you know, the bands in the 90s are still making videos, but it was more about the music in the 90s, I believe. And I'll tell you, it was hard for me to... I listen to Sirius XM Lithium all the time, which is 90s alternative and grunge. And
he sends me pictures of what's playing on his radio, on his Sirius in the car all the time.
Yeah.
And he does. He listens to Lithium, and it's great. He has so many of these songs that come up all the time. I love it.
Yeah, and I'm going to have an honorable mention list. I'm going to whip through it real quick. Bands that I could have included, but, you know, we're limited. Local H,
so,
Jimmy's Chicken
yeah.
Shack, Primitive Radio Gods, you and I talked about that one.
No,
my friend,
we're going to start with Primitive Radio Gods because I told you that was the honorable mention that actually gets played on the show. So go through your list
okay.
and we're going to start
we'll
with that
one. Then we'll, okay, that'd be great. My friend Brian, you commented on my Facebook about the podcast. He said New Radicals. That was another band. Fastball, The Way, Dishwalla, Counting Blue Cars. I mean, there's just so many good ones. But I had to limit it down to six, and I think I picked some pretty good ones. And you do want to play Radio Guides, right?
You picked six really good ones, but being that I am an actual relevant child from the 90s, like that's when music really started affecting me, I felt like when you said that needed to be an honorable mention, it actually needed to be played because it is the epitome of absolute 90s. The song title alone is more of a song than the actual song. Okay.
Can you say the title without reading it? Can you say the title without reading
yes.
it?
Actually, yes. And I can verify. Jeremy, can you verify for me that I am looking away from the computer?
Yes.
The name of this song that I am about to play is "Standing Outside a Phone Booth with Standing Outside a Broken Phone Booth with Change in My Hand" by Primitive Radio God. Fuck yeah.
And that dates the song right there, A Broken Phone Booth.
And here you go, buddy. It's all for you.
Oh, thank you.
I'm
shall we go through like another minute of discordant guitar? And how is that not the most like pivotal 90s song ever? It's long,
beautiful,
meandering. It tells a weird story. And when you don't know how to end the song, just go through discordant guitar and wah-wahs. And there you go. You have 90s music.
Carl, what do you think of that song? Have you heard it before?
I've heard it before, and it's one of the lesser of the evils. So that's okay.
Okay. Well, then we'll jump. That was my honorable mention, so we're going to jump into my list. And I'm going to start with
your damn thing.
My favorite one-hit wonder of the 90s, and it's a band called Meat Puppets. Now, they're formed in the Kirkwood brothers formed them in 1980. An interesting thing, remember we played Man Who Sold the World by Nirvana? Well, they were in on that. They were in on that MTV Unplugged session, the Kirkwood brothers. They had this song. When the song came out, I first heard it. And I want to make another real quick point. College radio started the mid-80s into the 90s. And a lot of the songs that we heard in the 90s really got kicked off in college radio. The biggest, most famous band that got popularity out of college radio was REM. But anyways, the Meat Puppets was
my
college radio band.
Fun times.
Yep. So this song's called Backwater. And let me tell you, I heard it on the radio. I loved it. I ran down and bought the CD, and it sucked. Okay? About within a year, you know, I was working concert production then. Within a year, I ran sound for Meat Puppets at a town festival. I can't even tell you where I was. And I thought, okay, maybe they're better live. No. They weren't. So, anyway,
I have a couple Meat Puppets albums that were gifted to me. So I think we're going to be doing some Backwater, which I agree. Great song. I'm glad they stayed where they did, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. Go ahead, Carl.
Blood that's flowing through the feeling with a knife to open.
Carl?
Yes, I'm here. Not a bad song.
Okay.
Not a bad song. Not a great song, but not a bad song.
I think the guitar is like a fish hook in the corner of your mouth reeling you in. I love the guitar in that song. And I love the dual vocals, too, where the brothers sing every line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, oh, my God, can we just, like, bring that up for a second if we're going to talk about 90s music? Like, how many amazing one-hit wonders slash actual great acts that had more than one hit that were, like, brothers? I mean, can we talk about Oasis?
Yeah.
No, let's not talk about Oasis. So many, and you gotta love it. And I agree with you. I have a couple of Meat Puppets albums. They were given to me, but I have them. And well, suffice it to say, I don't listen to them. There's a lot of one hit wonders, but
good.
I love the rest of their albums.
They're not good.
Nah.
So.
No, they're not. They're awful, and I love it. They're so bad, they're good. So what you got next? Like, we've got your honorable mention.
Well,
we've got your fucking meat puppet.
I know. We're going to merry old England for my next one. And there's actually a band called James. 1982. Hold on.
I don't know what happened there. Sorry, guys.
Okay. Well, anyways, this band's from Manchester, UK. They had 9 top 10 UK albums, 4 UK top 10 singles, but this song's the only one that made it over to America, and it was college radio again. It started getting played on college radio, which influenced, city DJs to start playing it. But the band is called James, and the song is called Laid.
All right. Well, I am bringing this one up right now. No more meat puppets. Here we go.
I didn't know yodeling was so popular back in the 90s.
I didn't realize
that's because you didn't listen to the radio in the 90s. If you can't just use discordant guitar and some wah wah wahs at the end of your song, you have to end it by yodeling. Like, those are the three rules of the 90s.
That song has your classic rock anthem song to it. So, you know, it's drums.
Which is a show we're
going to
be doing soon.
Yeah, rock anthems, cool.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So you didn't like the yodeling. What about the rest of the song? See,
there's a reason that I didn't listen to the radio in the 90s, and that would be one of them.
Okay, well, you know, you're sitting there chair dancing with a board up your ass while you're chair dancing, picking out the negatives. Don't you see anything good in this? No.
Because, no, I'm not judging you. I'm just judging the music from the 90s. I know you.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I mean,
I'm
you guys
like,
are
you
the
know,
same
I'm...
age. This is funny to me. This
oh,
is
you know,
great.
By the way,
keep talking your Flintstone shit. This is awesome.
Speaking of our age, when I was Googling Thomas Dolby, he's actually 2 years younger than Carl and I. He was born in 1959. Yeah. So, there you have it.
Oh, my God.
So
you guys were born back in the days. It's so fun.
Yeah,
1958, people. That's when I was born, 1958.
We're in our seventh decade, something like that. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got 85 going. Do I make you feel real old? May be about to cut us off, so let's get at least your next song going out, TC, and hopefully it doesn't
next
cut
song,
us off, but what you right, want.
We're going into Carl's backyard, New York City, and it is a band that this song, I actually heard a SiriusXM DJ say this was the best one-hit wonder of the 90s, and the
I know
band
where you're
is
going.
Space Hog, Royston Cramden. What's the hell's the guy's name? Royston Langdon. He was actually married to Liv Tyler. They have a kid together. But anyways, this is Space Hog called In the Meantime.
All right. Well, I'm trying to find it here in our list. In the meantime, here we go. Space Hog. And hopefully we don't get cut off. There you go, guys.